Go with me now to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. I've been wanting to deal with this verse for a couple of weeks now. Look at Galatians 6, in light of what we just read, Galatians 6, verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto this world. When was the last time you have read the account of the crucifixion? It had been a while for me too. And I urge you to read all of them. Go back and read all four accounts, because each one gives other things that took place there. It had been far too long for me, as it may have been for you. We should read it often. We should think about the cross of our Lord daily. And I think we'll see why in a moment. How did it make you feel when you read it? Every child of God who loves the Lord Jesus Christ experiences every emotion while reading that. Sorrow. You have to sorrow for someone you love that goes through, is going through what he did. Anger. Guilt. Shame. Wonder. Amazement that he would endure that willingly. Admiration. Worship. It should be no wonder that Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, that I should be taken up with, that I should brag or boast or admire anything or anyone save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, he said, I'm determined not to know anything, not to be taken up with anything, not to be to study or to pursue anything save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In light of that, let me attempt, and the closer I got to bringing this tonight, the less able I felt and wish someone else were dealing with. But let me attempt to declare what the cross is, what our Lord did on Calvary's tree, and why we should glory in it. Now, I should not have to say that Paul is certainly not talking about a wooden cross, a piece of wood, a tree, that so many make an idol of, which is blasphemous, which takes away from His glory. But what the cross is what Jesus Christ did on Calvary's tree. Christ and Him crucified. When Paul says, God forbid I should glory, save in the cross, he's saying that we glory in what Christ did on the cross, who hung there and what He did. And here is what was taking place. God, in infinite wisdom, and for His own glory and honor, over and above creation, His redemptive glory, God, in infinite wisdom, and for His own honor and glory, and for the glory and honor of His Son, the Lord Jesus, whom He loves supremely, in order to display or show forth His glory, all of His glory, His character in all of its attributes, His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His love, His mercy, His grace, His goodness, His long-suffering in all things, devised a way, the only way, whereby God could display all of His character and glorify His Son in such a way that He would be honored and glorified forever by those for whom He did this. God devised the only way whereby God could be both holy and just and yet justify a sinner. The only way whereby God could punish sin and yet pardon that sin. The only way whereby God could kill the guilty sinner and yet let them go free. The only way whereby God could be satisfied with the law having been kept and yet spare those who broke it. And He did this by sending His Son to this earth to keep that law for these lawbreakers, for these sinners, and then sending Him to the cross, which God in Deuteronomy is the one who first said, "Let the sinner be hung on a tree." In Deuteronomy 21, it says, "He that sinneth a sin worthy of death, hang him on a tree." God's the one that did that. I mistakenly before said the Romans, it began with the Romans, but no, God said that. And so therefore, making His Son the curse for His people, had Him hung on a tree, made Him to be sin for those sinners, He who knew no sin, made His soul an offering for sin, laid on Him the iniquity of them all, His elect, that is, put on Him their iniquities, and that sin was punished in Him, condemned in His body, in His flesh, on the tree, and that sin was put away by the sacrifice of Himself at the cross. Now, that's the fact of the matter. See if we can't enter into the glory of it. And if we just believe the fact of the matter, it should give us some peace and some hope and some comfort, because what Christ did there, He did for His people. He was one with His people. He was a substitute for His people. He was the second Adam, the covenant head, in whom we were at that time. And when God killed Christ, He killed us. And therefore, the law has no more demands on us. The law cannot condemn us. The law cannot send us to hell. God is not angry with us. God is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. And God is at peace. God is reconciled. But what we see at the cross, we see everything. The will of God, the purpose of God. We see the state of man. We see the character of God. We see everything. This is why Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross." At the cross, we see the depravity and the evil that is in man. People deny this. Men deny this, that man is inherently evil. But nowhere is that depravity and that evil more clearly seen, undeniably displayed, than at the cross. In Romans 3, where it talks about our mouths being, our throats being an open sepulcher, and our feet swift to shed blood, nowhere is that more clearly seen than at the cross. When it says everyone, all of the people, Herod and Pontius Pilate and Jews and Gentiles and all of them. And if we'd have been there, we'd have done the same thing. Gathered together against this Holy One and killed Him. God, who is holy, came to this earth. Man is evil. And man hates evil. Romans 1 says, haters of God, and nowhere is that more clearly seen than at Calvary. When they got their hand, we got our hands on God, we killed him. The depravity of man is clearly seen at Calvary's tree on the cross. But man did what God determined before to be done. What God in infinite love and mercy and grace and wisdom purposed to do by putting His Son on that cross as a substitute for sinners, we then see the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God on Calvary's tree. Are you with me? It's because because of what I'm attempting to describe that we're not in hell right now. The holiness and righteousness and justice of God is seen at the cross. Does God hate sin? Christ was made sin, and God killed him. God killed him. Will God punish sin? Never mind what the world says. Christ was made sin, and the wrath of God was poured out on him on Calvary's tree. Will God send a sinner to hell for his sin? Jesus Christ was made sin. God forsook His Son because God made Him the sinner. And He forsook Him. He went through hell. And didn't leave His soul in it. At the cross of Christ, the glory of God in His love and His mercy and His grace and His goodness is seen nowhere else as clearly as at the cross. In Romans chapter 5, you can go there with me if you will. Romans chapter 5, over in chapter 3, chapter 1, it describes our utter evil heart and nature. And in chapter 5, God says that Christ died for some, and He says who it was He died for. Verse 7, was not a righteous man. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God. In commendation of His great love, to the glory of His great love, commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the very ones who hated Him. God loved the very ones who hated His Son. His love, the glory of His love, is for the unlovely. The glory of His mercy is for the worst, like that thief on the cross. Worse than him, those that killed him. The glory of His grace is seen at Calvary's tree. Great grace, the gift, the Son of His love, unspeakable gift, the Son of His love for great sinners, unworthy wretches. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. At the cross, the glory of God's great wisdom is seen. Whereby a complete and eternal peace with God is established. A complete eternal peace with God is established. The putting away of sin. Sin is gone. Completely eradicated. Put away, like that scapegoat. Christ on the cross was that scapegoat and that fit man who took the sins of God's people that were laid on His precious head, our head, and took them away and separated them from us as far as the east is from the west. And an everlasting righteousness was brought in there. The second Adam from above reinstated us in His love. By taking us in union with Himself, and in the Spirit of God took His seed and put it in every one of His people, creating a new creature in them. And all of this and more is seen at Calvary's tree. All of this was done by Jesus Christ on the cross. And so Paul says in our text in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now let me ask several questions. And they are answered in this one verse. In light of this verse, in light of what we read, in light of what Christ did on Calvary's tree, the glory of the cross, and the world crucified unto us, and us to the world. What could we possibly glory in, brag about, boast about, in light of what Christ did, what He had to do to procure our salvation? Paul, in writing this verse, had dealt with the Galatians all through, who some came and said you had to be circumcised, you had to do this, to keep the law, and so forth. And he said, circumcision availeth nothing. If righteousness come by the law, circumcised, Christ died in vain. The only thing that could put away sin is the death of Christ on Calvary's tree. The only thing that could make us righteous is Christ, His righteousness. And in the very beginning of this book, he wrote that Christ gave Himself for our sins. That's the subject of this whole book, the Bible. He gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So he begins it, amen. And he begins this by saying this is all about Christ putting away our sins by Himself, and it's for His glory. And he ends this thing by saying, what could we possibly glory in other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can we glory in what we are? Because by the grace of God we are what we are. Can we glory in what we know? We only know because He gave us an understanding that we might know Him. That is true. What work have I done? One time when the people were choosing up sides and talking about preachers as if they were captains of a ball team. I like this preacher. I like that preacher. He said, you're so carnal. He said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? He said, was Paul crucified? No, sir. Was Apollos? No, sir. Jesus Christ was crucified. What have I done? What could I do? What would I glory in, brag or boast in, other than the Lord Jesus Christ? This is why all of our righteousness, Scripture says, is filthy rags. This is why the Scripture says that whatever is highly pleasing to men, highly esteemed among men, is an abomination to God, if it doesn't give all the glory to Jesus Christ. Only what glorifies Christ is acceptable to God. Let me ask you this. Let me ask us this. Who or what would I be impressed with? He said, the world is crucified unto me. Who or what would I be impressed with or enamored with in light of Jesus Christ hanging on Calvary's tree? What person in this world could I possibly be impressed with, enamored with, honor and glory in? Who? Huh? Other than Jesus Christ. What men have done. Who could I call great? Who would I call wonderful? Who would I be amazed at in light of this? This puts everything and everyone in perspective, doesn't it? In light of Christ and Him crucified, it says, the world is crucified unto me. What do I aspire to be? What do I aspire to do? Christ made Himself of no reputation for me. What do I aspire to own in this world? He had nothing. He who was rich for our sakes became poor. What do I aspire to see, go and see and wonder at and marvel at in light of this glory? Doesn't everything become utterly vain and empty and altogether unlovely? Doesn't everything fade into worthlessness in light of this? And the world crucified unto me. What about the wisdom of this world? In light of the glorious wisdom of God in sending His Son to die on Calvary's tree, the only way that God could display Himself and and justify. In light of that, what wisdom do you see in anything or anyone in this world? Nail it to the cross. What about the ways of man? Utterly evil and corrupt in comparison with the ways of God. Is this the way of man? Such mercy, such grace, such long suffering, such compassion, such love, such kindness, such sacrifice. Is this the way of man? No one has ever come close to this. Who or what would I glory in their sacrifice? The affections of this world, who or what would I be taken with? We sang that song, Love So Amazing. See why that's that hymn. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. He who gave his all for me, who is nothing at all, does it not deserve my all? As far as us being crucified to the world, listen to this. What anyone says of me or does to me, what difference does it make in light of what they did to Jesus Christ? He was having done to him what I deserve. I thought about them, and it didn't read there in John's gospel, but another gospel says they spit in his face. The height of a person's contempt for another. Such disesteem and degradation of one's person to spit in their face, to clear your throat and spit in that person's face is to show the utmost contempt for that person and disesteem. And I thought in light of Christ enduring that for me, I thought the only face I need to spit in is my own. So what should it matter what the world does to me? Huh? In light of what they did to him. What we did to him. What I did to him. What sacrifice have I really made? What have I given? In light of this, what suffering have I endured in light of Christ crucified? Who has offended me like they offended him, like we did? Whom have I forgiven like this? Whom have I shown mercy to like this? Whom have I loved like this? Greater love hath no man than this. What aggravation have I endured? What annoyance have I endured? What contradiction of sinners against myself have I endured? How have I strived under blood fighting against sin in light of Christ crucified? Huh? I need to be crucified. This is what it means to be crucified to the world. Come what might, it's less than we deserve. Because Christ, none of this did he deserve. Two things that it's virtually impossible for a human being to do. Two things. Number one, take someone else's blame. Take the blame for something someone else did. And that's exactly what he did. And secondly, give all the credit for something you did. It's virtually impossible for us to do that. And Christ did both. God forbid that I should glory. And listen to this. In light of the Calvary's tree, in light of the cross, this is the only thing that will humble us. It's the only thing that will humble our pride. The only thing that will break us. The only thing that will break us. The only thing that will make us truly thankful. The only thing that will make us truly loving. The Scriptures tells us so many times the motive and the reason why we should love. The reason why we should forgive is because God, for Christ's sake, forgave you. Husband, love your wife. How? Like Christ loved his bride. a Gomer, a worthless, forlorn, fallen woman who was never faithful to him. Ever faithful to him. That's our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will make us gracious but this, in light of his unspeakable gift. The cross is the only thing that will kill pride. In light of the cross, there's no room for boasting. No room for any boasting whatsoever. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, we sing. Think about that, in light of the cross. The only thing that will kill sin, listen to it. The only thing that will kill sin and all of its temptations and its power and its reigning rule over us is the cross. The only thing. Only when we think about what Christ suffered because of our sin will it give us pause when we start to be tempted by it. And start to, that's the only thing. It's the only thing. When we're tempted, we look to Christ crucified and think on what He endured to put away our sin, and that's the only thing that will make us stop and think, how could I sin against such love like that? The only thing. It's the only thing that will kill self. And our Lord said, if you're going to come after me, you deny yourself. The only thing that will is take up the cross. Think about the cross. Self-righteousness. God forbid. And I should glory. Self-pity. The only thing that will kill self-pity. Christ pitied not himself. Took not pity on himself. When he was carrying his cross on those lacerated shoulders, he turned to the women in Luke's account, I believe it is. Mark, I forget. He turned to the women who were weeping for him. He said, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. The only thing that will kill self-pity. When we are tempted, look to Christ and Him crucified. When we're sinful, look to Christ. Christ was crucified. Christ died. God is satisfied. When we're afraid, look to Christ. The worst thing possible that could happen for the disciples would be for them to take their Lord and kill Him and put Him away. But it was the best thing that could have happened. So, in light of that, Christ being crucified, the worst thing that could happen, the best thing came out of it. What bad thing could happen to you in light of that? Nothing. Nothing. Who is he that will harm you? Christ died. When you're sorrowful, look to Christ. Christ crucified, but he didn't stay dead. I wish we could have gone on reading in John 20. It says the first day of the week, that stone was rolled away. And Christ came and uttered those wonderful words, behold my hands and my side, it is I. And he rose from the grave and went and is seated right now at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When sorrowful, look to Christ, crucified, risen, seated, and God satisfied. When tired and weary, be not weary in well-doing. The Lord grew weary, didn't he, and sat on a well. And look to Him. When hurting and suffering, no one hurt and suffered like Him. But when lonely, Christ was forsaken that we might never be forsaken. Our Lord said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Why? Because God forsook His Son. That's why. We should be forsaken, but we won't be. And you have God's Word on it. Why? Because Christ died. That's why. When angry at someone, or angry at the world, or whatever, when angry, look to Christ. Remember, those words that slew me, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. If slighted, if ignored, if insulted, if abused, if ridiculed, if set at naught, if neglected, if evil spoken of, if reviled, look to Christ crucified, who deserved none of these things, yet endured all of these things. And He did it for us who do deserve these things. And He did it for us who did these things, who endured these things by us and from us. And this is why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why the world should be crucified to us. There's nothing and no one in this world worth our notice. Hang Him on the tree. And why we should be crucified to the world. Dead to its applause. Dead to its insults. Dead to be offended by it or anyone. Because Christ was crucified. In light of that. Huh? And so, and now listen to this. In closing. If, or when rather, we forget these things. Love so amazing. So divine. So wonderful. When we forget these things. Such mercy. Such love. Such grace. Such glory. When we forget these things, almost as soon as we've heard them, when we, like the children of Israel, who did so often, and we are just like them, are we better than they? In no wise. When we forget His mercies, when we forget His grace, when we forget His goodness to us, and when we begin all over again to murmur and complain, when we have no room for murmuring or complaint, or when we boast of something, we act like we have not received something, or when we act in a way that is completely contrary to one who has received such mercy and such grace, remember this. May God remind us all over again. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not concerned. Why? Because Christ was crucified. That's it. Okay, stand with me. Our Lord, we thank You for Your gospel. It is both good news and yet convicting. Lord, it is wonderful. It's glorious, yet it brings great shame upon us. It should give us great hope and peace and comfort, yet fill us with amazement and horror and wonder. It's both solemn and serious and yet joy and rejoicing. Lord, take Your word and remind us again and again. Bring Your word back to our memory of Christ and Him crucified. And may this world be crucified to us with all of its affections and lusts thereof. And may we, like our Lord, lay down our lives for others. And when reviled, revile not again. Oh Lord, let us be constantly mindful of Christ and Him crucified. Let us never glory in anything but Him. It's in His name we met here tonight and done these things. Amen. You're dismissed.